Maybe we should give them 30 minutes.
To the public participating in this conversation, so we'll give them the 30 minutes now.
We'll go on.
But this is, again, an indicator of what's going on.
Okay,
so
all right. All right, we'll go to the public comment list. Okay, Mitchell Cohen.
Can we give a point of information people may be interested in while we're waiting? News from Election Central,
actually,
South Carolina.
South Carolina, a news? Okay, but it has to be brief.
Well, apparently the New York Times, the Washington Post, and others are calling a win for Barack Obama 51%, Hillary Clinton 29%.
Thank you. Okay.
20%. 20%.
Edwards. Okay. Edwards is 20%.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mitchell. Mitchell, go ahead.
Okay.
Obama 51%.
What's the matter?
California, y'all. Where are you for? You're working
for you. Okay, can we have order, please? Can we be attentive, please?
Hi, okay. Good evening, folks. I'm going to be addressing my comments to the financial report. We wanted to do this during the financial report itself, or right afterwards, but we were told that we could do it at 5 p.m., and then at 5 p.m. it moved to 7 p.m., so that's why it's out of order right now. Lonnie, the CFO, said that WBAI had $150,000 that they suddenly found because they were in restricted funds, and they're now being moved for operating expenses. So they're being moved out of restricted funds into unrestricted. But what he didn't say was that means there's $150,000 less for something else. And that something else, I believe, is for the building fund to try to contribute to the new offices that BII would like to buy. So if he's going to give a report saying $150,000 is suddenly found, you have to say where it's being taken from and how that's going to jeopardize something else. So there's maybe it's a good thing or maybe not, but there's a price to be paid, and that has to be put out there. Second was the CFO said that the mail drops would raise $800,000 to $900,000 per year. But according to the CFO's own report last year in October 2007, the mail drops raised only $150,000 to $160,000, not $800,000 to $900,000. So that's something else that needs to be taken into consideration. People need to really read the fine print on this stuff. Third and lastly, the lawsuit, which we were told by Dan Siegel is going to cost the Pacifica Foundation $40,000 to $50,000. Just want people to know that the plaintiffs are not asking for any monetary damages whatsoever. We're not trying to do that. And if the Pacifica lawyers will waive their fees, then our lawyer will waive his as well.
Okay, that's
so,
time.
And then let's see, put your money where your mouth is.
That's
and
time.
Finally, the last sentence is, let's sit down, Dan Siegel, and try to reach a settlement agreement so that it saves the foundation all the money that you say it's going to have to spend.
Thank you.
Let's negotiate.
Thank you. Jamie Ross, and then Monroe Littman, and then Patty Heffley.
Hi. Thanks for your time. Yes, I'd like to follow up on Mitchell's comments a little bit about the finances. With regard to the statement that Pacifica made $800,000 in mail drops, the question is that a net? The reason why I asked that question is in WBAI's budget for fiscal 2007, there was an income line item of $200,000 that we were to get from the national office that was supposed to come from mail drops. And last August, after the fiscal year was almost over and we were doing the budget for the current year, fiscal 2008, our acting general manager, Robert Scott Adams, told us that money never came through, and the understanding was that the mail drop profit that was expected was not realized. So once again, I really urge you all to focus on the finances here. BAI, the fact that BAI has a $250,000 a year annual deficit is something that I hope you'll pay close attention to and do your best to understand why and what can be done to remedy it. With regard to the lawsuit, I too am a plaintiff in this suit. And the reason why I took this step is there was no other way that I could see myself either A, getting my right to a ballot, or B, to enforce Pacifica's own bylaws about the election close date. If there were, if there had been another way to get this done, I would have taken that step, because I do not want to be in an adversarial relationship with the foundation. And I also echo Mitchell's comment. If Dan is worried about spending $40,000 in legal fees on this suit, what we should do, I don't see why we can't. I think that a settlement should be reachable if you guys really want to reach one. So perhaps
That's time.
We have to talk to the lawyers, but I think that's what should be worked on. This going to court stuff, you know, it's a waste of our time and it's a waste of your time too.
Time. Thank you.
Well, we had to because if we didn't go to court. Pardon me, folks. Do I have
that's
the
court? No, you don't have the floor, Jamie. I'm sorry. Your time is up.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Thanks.
Thank you. Monroe Littman, and then Patty, and then John Riley.
How are you? All right, everybody. Here's my second attempt to save the world. First of all,
please,
Nicole,
do we have order?
Wire's name was mentioned yesterday, but I didn't hear it today. I may have fallen asleep at a certain point. But the point is, Dan, the point is, I don't understand how you great minds could elect this woman into a position and that she resigned. Is that what's happened? I don't even know if she resigned now, because yesterday, the way people mentioned her name, it was as if she was not resigned. But, I mean, I find this very duplicitous, if that's a proper way to say the word. The point is, Robert Knight was fired. The first he let on was that Bernard White said he was playing American music, was some term like that. And all of a sudden, he was out. He's out on KPFA. I understand that Larry Bensky is leaving KPFA. I'm sorry to hear that. Lou Hill's name, I spoke to Lonnie about it. I said there should be a page in your big, thick economics banking book there about the economies of WBAI that should have an appreciation of Lou Hill. Furthermore, Vajra Kilgore said to me when I said that I'd like to handle a program of some duration on BAI about what freedom of speech means, she said it's not mentioned in the mission statement of Pacifica. I said, of course, it's a granted. It's taken for granted that freedom of speech and honesty and integrity and transparency and everything is going on amongst civilized people, that all views are put together and evaluated so that we don't have bloodshed and everything like that. Now, as for this racism thing, if you're a racist, you hate people of all of the group that you're particularly adverse to. And this is not the case of people who come to WBAI, unless they're secret agents, and I don't think that that could be accused.
Okay, time.
So check it out,
Monroe.
As far as calling people racist. You might say I'm a racist because I don't like the way Bernard White handles birthdays and says he doesn't know that.
Thank you, Monroe. It's time.
He doesn't know
that's time.
Names are, and then he
thank
he
you.
Says, because I don't know it, you don't know
thank
it.
You. Thank you. Thank
shut
you.
It out.
Okay. We have Patty Heffley, then John Riley, then Vajra Kilgore.
Hi, Patty Heffley, former director. Today's votes and everything were very interesting to me. This whole weekend has been interesting. After a notice to remove WBAI's vice chair, Kathy Davis, a black woman, today's election results for chair and Donna Warren's not seating here, I realize today, and I will say it, it's crystal clear, it's not about race, it's about power. Looking at these elections also today of tonight's officers, I feel like the takeover is nearly complete. Bob Letters smiling like a Cheshire cat. Whenever that's the case, you know there's problems. And that's in fact, no, mark my words. Dan Siegel and the Sherry Gendelman alliance is set. a vice chair that is new and absolutely unknown to this foundation in a landslide over Evelyn Bethune, a known quantity, biased advice by counsel, de facto board member, sits on every phone call, gives advice, earns the name IED, improvising explosive device. I say improvising because sometimes he says the bylaws are a guide and other times he advises they're to be followed. It would be one thing if Pacifica were flourishing, but actually, with this board majority last year on the tutelage of people like Sar Randhawa's very biased chairing, sexist chairing, I would add, and the CFO's incompetency in IED, you're basically killing the only free speech network in this country.
Thank you, Patty. John Riley.
Always that way, no matter what, for years.
Well, there's a lot of opinions about what will bring WBAI's financial health up. One of them I just wanted to address. I'm also an AIDS activist and have been for since 1992. And the reason why I bring that up is that a number of people have called for the return of Gary Null to the airwaves of WBAI as a salvation. And because in the late 90s, he was a very effective fundraiser. But I have to say that the price of that would be too high to be acceptable to me and to many people in my community, because Gary Null is an HIV-AIDS denialist. What's that mean? Simply, he says HIV does not cause AIDS. And I am very glad that he is not on the air in New York City, which is still one of the epicenters of the AIDS epidemic in the United States. And it's not just his personal views that I'm concerned about. It's what does he project on the air. In a four-year period before he was removed from the air, he broadcast like almost four dozen shows on the topic of AIDS. And almost every, like most of these shows, or the overwhelming majority, were putting forth the views of HIV AIDS denialists like Peter Duisberg and others. And I would just say that we can't just be about making money. We have to do it with principle. And I would say Gary Null is not in the Pacifica mission, and that Gary Null's message is extremely problematic. And I think, given his extreme views on AIDS, some of his other views might need to be reexamined as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Vajra Kilkar, and then Ray LaForest.
Hi. I have a number of quick things to say. I see that somebody's not in the room that I wanted to address the issue of production. I was open-mouthed to hear that there are paid people doing production at KPFA, at BAI. All the producers do our own production, and possibly what's needed there is more training so that everybody can do their own. And, you know, hook people up with the software, and off they go. On the issue of fundraising, board fundraising, there's no reason why people can't be proactive. When I have my little birthday parties, I say to people, I don't want a present. I want you to donate to WBAI, and I've raised some, you know, little bits of money that way. You raise some money that way. You put the bite on your relatives. You don't have to wait for the board to pass a motion or anything else to be proactive about your fundraising, and all of us can think of ways to do it, I'm quite sure. Let's see. No, it isn't. Youth training, that's a great source of grants. I think it should definitely be pursued. We want to make sure that some of that grant money goes to the station where the project is happening. Then the other thing I want to talk about is that we don't want to be confused about the difference between evaluating programming and evaluating fundraising. We want to evaluate programming in terms of how it brings the mission forward and reaches out to more listeners. Programming is for listeners. Fundraising is for money. And what we need to analyze more than programming in terms of fundraising is analyze fundraising in terms of fundraising, and people need to sit down and look at what segments of fundraising are raising money and look at that rather than looking at getting confused about programming and fundraising. So I think that's something that we all could, you know, it's one of those good ideas that we don't quite get around to is, yes, we're going to analyze the results on the fundraising. Okay. Last thing about the racism piece. I actually did design a workshop for spiritual healing of racism, and somebody who was teaching me how to put together a workshop said, you have to do a needs assessment. You have to do a needs assessment. You have to look at the needs of the community that you're dealing with. And so I went away and I thought about that, and I said, you know, I'm afraid that your constituency, right? I said, I'm actually afraid that the need of my constituency in this area is the need to be perceived as not needing this workshop. So it's
okay,
like
time.
It's that uphill thing where you're going up a glass precipice, and you know. But we have to do it.
Thank you, Ray LaForest, then Emmett Abati Doe, and Paul Di Rienzo.
Yeah, it feels funny to be on this side of the microphone of the table. Anyway, I've been on this board for a long time, so I'm not trying to get right back in the limelight. But I wanted to take this occasion to tonight. I was supposed to be. If I wasn't here, I would have been in Manhattan. Celebrating a life of a great American of Cuban ancestry named Luis Miranda, founder of Casa de las Americas, and a struggler for people's rights all over the area, including this country, and particularly in the state you've read of Cuba. So I say, Luis Miranda, presente. Thank you. That's all I wanted to say. However, there was a remark made earlier, and I just want to clarify it. Kathy Davis is not here. So I feel very comfortable mentioning that again. But it was mentioned that as a black woman, somebody had introduced a motion to reverse a nomination to vice chair. I'm the person of color who did so. And I did it because following what we considered a legal meeting of a local board during which she was elected vice chair, she decided to take part in something that I considered as illegal, which is a second meeting that took place after the legal meeting in a diner somewhere, where she agreed to the principle that the first group meeting was not legal. So therefore, for me, that meant that she felt that her nomination to that position was not legitimate. So I did the next logical step, and I introduced a motion to reconsider her nomination. I'm sorry to have had to do it, but that's the explanation for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Emmett Abati Doe. You here? I don't think he's here. Okay, Paul Di Rienzo.
A couple of things. First, I was going to speak to this, but since the whole concept of AIDS and Gary Knoll was brought up, I just want to point out that one of the members of the board, Bob Lederer, was a former editor of PAS magazine, a magazine that received a tremendous amount of funding from drug companies providing some of the drugs that are used now to fight the HIV virus, and which are having quite a negative effect in the AIDS community now that they're not working as well as they did before. I've never seen an organization so focused on doctrine and mission, yet so poor in implementation of that doctrine and mission as Pacifica. In the past 5 years, more laudable words have been spoken with less impact on our world than I can remember at Pacifica meetings. And meanwhile, station after station sinks deeper into irrelevance. You are at a turning point. Events are overtaking Pacifica, and the network is as stable as a double-decker freeway during an earthquake. How well will you direct the future of Pacifica? Who will run this station, WBAI, for example, in this period of change? I ask you not to keep doing what you're doing, which is to react, but to act. And I've never seen a Pacifica National Board, no matter who was in charge of it, that did anything but react, and that is why we're in the situation that we're in now. You're so afraid of being sued. You're so afraid of being called racist. You're so afraid of everything. And you're not really the responsible, radical people who should be in charge of a network like this. You're just not. You don't measure up, in my opinion, as a group. And I'd like to end this by saying that a settlement was offered to a lawsuit, and the lawyer for Pacifica made a joke out of it. That was irrelevant, and it was just irresponsible, and it's something that'll probably wind up in the lawsuit. I think that this is the type of attitude that is hurting this network, and nobody can say it's not being hurt. You can hate me all you want. It doesn't change the facts.
Time. Thank you. Okay, I have Alex Steinberg, Tibby Brooks, and Jim Dingaman.
I just want to say that I was very impressed by the presentation from the WPFW people as to their fundraiser. This was a wonderful thing, and it shows that some positive things do go on in this foundation despite all the insanity. But it raises an interesting question, and that is, why is WBAI in such bad shape? Why can't WBAI do something like what WPFW did? Well, one reason is you have to bring people together to do something like what happened in Washington. And far from bringing people together, the dominant faction at WBAI has done everything it could to demobilize listener interest in the station. One of the previous speakers from the faction here talked about the evaluation of programming. Well, we have a programming committee at WBAI. I was at one time the chair of that committee. When we first started meeting, we had 30, 40 listeners would come. We can't even have a meeting of that committee anymore. It hasn't met in months and months. Can't even get a quorum. We have a management evaluation committee at WBAI. Another example, this was once a very active committee. It's become nothing more than a rubber stamp for friends of management. And they put in a phony evaluation, rushed it through without the oversight of the local station board. And I can go on and on. So that's why these things don't happen. We had just recently, we had a town hall meeting, supposedly under the aegis of the local station board. How was that town hall meeting built and advertised? It was advertised as a rally against the racist coopsters who were trying to take over WBAI and Pacifica. Now, that's really something, isn't it? And I have to say that I didn't come here with the intention of speaking about anyone in particular, particularly our interim executive director. But I must say that I was absolutely shocked to hear his statement that he made yesterday. And if I'm misquoting, forgive me. But you said that our position sounded like a little bit like things you heard about in Mississippi back in the 1950s and early 60s, when people who wanted to take a vote had to go and pay a tax and swear that their grandparents were, you know, whatever. Well, is really, we've had enough of this misuse of civil rights rhetoric in order to cover over incompetency and malfeasance.
Thank you, Alex. Tibby Brooks?
I can't reach this mic. I was really under the impression this was going to be an interactive Q&A. Maybe that'll happen later. Well, then I would ask Lisa in her continuance of the report from the committee to investigate racism and sexism. What happened to affirmative action? How come we don't have affirmative action on this board in comparison with anything else that's kind of decent around America?
Thank you. Jim Dingaman, is he here? William Hairwagon. And then I have Mike B. and Serene Roberts.
Hello again. I just wanted to ask if, it might have been covered earlier. Lonnie, did you say you're going to put the Corporation for Public Broadcasting criteria for what's a minority out somewhere that people could find that, the website or something? You're going to put that where, on Pacifica dot something?
I guess.
Okay. Well, you're going to follow up on it. Thank you. Then I guess, talking about the racism, I just find it quite extraordinary that member Carolyn Burden has had the occasion to accuse six black people at WBAI of attacking her. Just sounds outrageous, ridiculous to me that any of that happened. And then as an example of the behavior of some of the people here, when Kamau Khalfani was speaking and went over, and he was quite emotional, but honest, he went over, and then he actually continued to talk a little bit out there, and you saw the performance somebody ran up in his face and danced at him as if, you know, saying, ha, ha, ha. This is the kind of behavior you get. These are strange, non-racist people. And then Mr. DiRienzo just said something about Dan's comments will, quote, probably end up in the lawsuit, unquote. Is that a warning that there's going to be another lawsuit? I guess so. And then Mr. Steinberg referred to a lack of a quorum on the committees. Why do we have a lack of a quorum? Because a certain group doesn't come to committees. So how can we accomplish anything? Then they don't come, they don't participate, and then they criticize what happens. This is typical of the behavior of them. And then I think I had one more comment, but I can't even figure it out. So thank you.
Thank you. Frank Lefebvre, you can go ahead. Then I have Mike B. and Serena.
Okay, my name is Frank Lefebvre. As you can see, I'm white, and I have the traditional skin privilege. One of the standing committees of the WBAI-LSB has gone on records accepting my diagnosis as having a melanin deficiency disease. This is a committee chaired by one of your directors, by the way. Whether I'm a racist, well, we can debate that until the cows come home. And that is precisely what Dan Siegel wants you to do. And by the time you've finished with all that kind of nonsense, your term is up, and new directors come in, and you haven't gotten to the important questions yet. Now, in a normal enterprise, in a normal institution, if things are not going well, you get rid of the managers. What people here are urging you to do is to shoot the messenger that tells you things are not going well. And some of us have been trying to tell you that for the last 3 or 4 years. We knew things were not going well. We knew the budget was full of holes and inaccuracies. We knew equipment and funds were being diverted from the station. We knew people were not being realistic about WBAI's place in the city. We knew there was no effort whatsoever to advertise the station the way a normal station would, so that people have to depend upon just happening upon the station by spinning the dial. We knew that we had to have some review of programming to ensure that when people did spin the dial, they found something good.
Thank you. It's time.
Am I finished?
Yes.
Okay. Hi.
Is Mike B?
Hope the network is not finished.
Mike B in the room? And is that him?
Hi, everyone. My name is Mike B, and a couple of corrections. The programming committee of LSB never had 40 people in one spot. Lie. Two, it's not like racism, it's bigotry, which is worse than racism. The people we're up against are bigots, with a capital B. They hate people who disagree with them, black, white, green, yellow, tall, short, fat, male or female. They hate you. And if you disagree with them, they attack. For instance, I was accused of attacking a little white woman who's a member of the board. From 10 feet away, I hit her in the stomach. I got great arms, but they're not that good. But she reported me to the cops without my knowledge. Okay? Two, another board member used to sit on this board, okay, who is going up the LSB, thank God, okay, spit at me because I criticized her saying she was, in quotes, she represents the listeners. And I said, no, you don't. And she spit at me in front of another LSB member. Now, these people, the LSB member turned to me, Mike, why don't you do so? I said, what am I going to do? You don't hit white women. Okay? I'm old enough to know that. Okay? I don't even hit white men unless they put their hands on me. Okay? So I just want to correct the record. Another thing is, let's talk about the problem with BAI. I mentioned it yesterday, I'm going to mention it again, and that is incompetency of certain people who are got tired of the managers, but who actually are union members and workers. subscription director, okay, premium director, business manager, okay, and the bookkeeper. They sit in the office together, and nobody has access to that room except when they're not there, when they leave the door open so they can go and collect premiums for free. All right? That's the problem. We've had everyone had the GM, says Valerie, way back when, before the coup. We've had people come in and would not get rid of incompetent people. I said to you, beware of people telling stories. Check the facts. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Serene?
The practice of spitting at people hasn't stopped, by the way, by members of the board.
Please. Please. Please, with the audience, please. Will you please be respectful of them?
Point of order.
Please.
Chair, please.
Yes, state your point of order.
I'm sorry, some more respect from the board. Thank you. From the directors, could you please ask them not to yell out at people on the floor? Thank you.
Okay, Serena, I stopped the clock. You can go ahead.
You're going to start it over, right?
Yep, starting it up.
Great, thanks. Couple of quick points. With regard to board committees, anyone can join a board committee. You don't even have to be a member of the station. You show up, you attend three. Anyone can attend the meeting. To become a voting member, you have to show up at three meetings. You can vote on your third. The problem is that we had a lot of people who attended meetings, and then they stopped attending meetings. But we still have this quorum. Most of the criticism comes from board members who have not done a lick of committee work. They may show up at a finance committee, and that's about it. So we have this artificial quorum. People gather. We don't make quorum. It's not a meeting. They don't lose membership because it wasn't a meeting. So they're not. It's not an unexcused absence. But we can't do work because we don't have the numbers. We can't do work that's binding. So a little honesty in reporting would be a good thing. On the story of Nolan, his connection to the station, you know, you heard from DiRienzo, who used to be Null's producer but ran as a listener that first year after having been on BAI for a while. You, Panessi, was a board member who was also a co-worker of Null. Brown is a business partner with Null. They fell out. They fell back in. You know, so when you hear things, you really have to ask questions. Where are the connections? You've got to look behind for the connections. It's important. On the issue of advertising and outreach, we had run an ad. You know, you guys get to do that at local meetings, but you can't bring it here. Okay? With regard to advertising, we'd run an ad in the Nation. Mr. Brown wrote the ad. It was by law illegal. It said you can have a trial membership in BAI for 6 months. There's no such thing as a trial membership. You pay your $25. What they offered was something that we had just offered to members as a premium for $100. And they turned around and offered it to the Nation, where the average reader makes 70 grand. But, hey, that's what promotion is about. Some of us argued
that's
that,
time.
Hey, well, I think considering the number of interruptions, I should be at least able to finish this point.
Finish it off.
May I? Thanks. Some of us argued that, fine, we did that. Let's go out for other publications. We don't have to repeatedly advertise in the same publication. We were told that while that is what was said, what they understood we meant was that we didn't want any white folks joining the station. I assure you, this actually happened. So, you know, take what they tell you with a pound of salt.
Thank you. I.O. Harrington here. I.O. Harrington. Okay, Rolando Binney.
Yes, good evening, everyone. My name is Rolando Bini. I'm a Latino immigrant. I have two suggestions to the Pacifica Board. The first one, and this should be applied to all the Pacifica stations, is that there should be a clear, transparent process for new programming. There are a lot of good programs, but some of them are not anymore that good. And there is not a clear process to get new people, new blood, new ideas into the programming. My second suggestion is that, from my experience, I'm an immigrant living 39 years in New York City, and I have found that New York State is the most racist state in the union. The only difference is that the races of the Old South are very spoken about the racism. The races here in the Northeast are very sophisticated and cunning, and they can hide and manipulate, but those are the facts. The other point that I want to make is that we should have programs from the beginning, what I call the cradle-to-prison pipeline industry. We have programs about the prison system, we have programs about the school, the public schooling system, education, but we have no programs about foster care. Foster care is an issue that, if you see the numbers, given the fact that 98% of all the thousands of children in foster care happen to be black and Latino, less than 1% white. And we have no program about that issue across the board in any of the Pacific stations. We have programs about wars outside and wars in the Middle East, but we should have room for programs about the war at home. And it takes a lot of resources to free one person in prison, as we can see, but if we could apply those resources to the beginning of the pipeline, we could do much more. My last point is that somebody mentioned today about Gary Noll. I personally think he's a very difficult person, and there are enough reasons to keep him away from the station. But to use the fact that he may have a different point of view about AIDS, I don't think it's a good reason. I happen to agree with Gary Noll about AIDS, and it's those AIDS that push the big pharma agenda that allow to make experiments with foster care children here in New York City. Thank you.
That's time. Is there Mary Hen? Is that it?
Larry.
There
you. Good evening.
Good evening.
Hello. My name is Larry Ham. I'm a WBAI listener and supporter and member. I'm also a part of an organization called People's Organization for Progress. I'd just like to say I'm very glad that the National Pacifica Board has come to Newark to meet. I'm very glad that you've come. I know I have a very short time. Let me get right to the point.
Thank you.
I'm a satisfied WBAI listener. I'm very happy with the station, of course. There's always room for improvement, and we all like to see some changes. But overall, I think the WBAI is a lighthouse for our struggle, particularly those of us who are struggling on the ground, the grassroots organizations whose causes and efforts and campaigns do not get the attention from the mainstream and corporate media. If it was not for WBAI, many of the victories that we have had in terms of mobilizing and organizing people would not have happened. I also want to say that I've been a listener for more than 20 years, and during that time, I've known Bernard White. He's a friend of mine, a close friend of mine. I really believe he has the best interests of the station at heart, and I support his work wholeheartedly. It's obvious that we have problems here. I do think there's a need for some dialogue, some real training and interaction around the questions of race and racism, and a need for more focus, some of the programming on issues here at home. But overall, I just wanted you to know that despite the struggle, and all of you are veteran political activists, so you know that struggle is a part of political life. But despite that struggle, I think the WBAI is serving the people very well, and particularly those of us who are struggling for justice on the ground. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to call on Casey Peters, who's been waiting extremely patiently all day. Perhaps for nothing.
Well, I'm here in my role as a listener sponsor of KPFK since 1971, and I'm going to say the same thing to you that I said to the previous board in the Berkeley meeting in September, and that is that an organization our size needs a national development director. A development director doesn't cost anything. They pay for themselves and much more so. I think that the event that was put on, the gala in Washington, D.C., is wonderful, and that should be an annual event at every station. We have great potential for reaching out and for bolstering our network. I've learned so much from listening to Pacifica, but much more than I learned going to graduate school. I feel that we have a lot to offer. You know, we're all here because we believe in the message that Pacifica offers to the people. And we could lose it if we're not careful. You know, we have to stop fighting with each other, and we have to start focusing on spreading the message. And it's not just one message. It's many messages. We're multifaceted. You know, each station with 168 hours of airtime every week has many programmers saying many different things. We're about free speech, about diversity. But most of all, we're bringing a wide variety of messages that come from the movements that we're involved in and reaching out to people who may not have heard them. And I certainly agree with the comment that we should be advertising our stations and not just relying on people coming across them by chance. So, development director, and also we need somebody to manage our databases because if we can't get our databases together, you're never going to have an election that people don't, you know, gripe about with good reason.
Thank you. Thank you, members of the public, for being patient with us.